Hi, Debbie. How are you?
Hi, Rick. I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Well, I have to congratulate you, Rick, on Dead Wrong, because for my money, it is dead right on.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. Thank you.
This movie is, it's so much fun. I love the fact that you keep your visuals very unfettered and clean and light and bright. So it allows us to really focus on the characters and the intersection and interplay of how all of them are getting brought together through the strangest circumstances and events, but all generated truly by Derek's character of Billy Evans.
Yeah.
That really puts everything in motion. And another one of the umbilical cords or threads comes courtesy of Rob Schneider's Ethan Boggs. And I have to say, Rick, one of the best performances of Rob's career.
Well, that's very nice, and I'm sure he'll really appreciate hearing you say that. Yeah, well, I think that's, you know, the reason that the movie appealed to him was that it did offer an opportunity to play a character that he's not, customarily associated
yeah.
with. There's certainly humor, you know, mm-hmm. in his portrayal, but it's a sad humor, and it sort of disguises the fact that, you know, he's sort of so disappointed with himself and the position that he's put himself in, you know, in his life. And so there's a lot of feeling and a lot of drama. And it was not an easy role, you know, for him. There, you know, very, a lot of dialogue, you know. But Rob, you know, he's such a professional.
Yeah.
You know, and not only as, you know, as an actor or as a comic, you know, he's also quite a good filmmaker. He really understands the process. And I think it is. It's a standout performance on his part. I think a lot of people will respond to it, hopefully the way you have.
Well, and I hope a lot of filmmakers respond to it and Rob gets considered for roles yeah. that have more depth and texture to them, like this character of Ethan, because we really see a great emotional arc within Ethan. We see
yeah.
we see remorse. We see flippancy. We see guilt. And Rob just brings it to life. And that just stands out to me. After watching the film and a couple scenes, I went back and rewatched them for his performance because it's that good. But then you give us something like Derek Smith's performance as Billy,
yeah.
which is just an egomaniacal narcissist that, you know, nothing good is ever coming out of this guy. But he's the one that looks like he's on the up and up.
Yeah.
You play with contrast of characters, character traits. This could not have been an easy balancing act, be it on the page or translating that to the screen.
Well, again, very, you know, very nice of you to say. I appreciate all the kind words. I mean, obviously, the Billy character, you know, is the motor, you know, to the whole story. You know, as you suggest, you know, he's, you know, he seems to be a very good guy on the surface, but, you know, has some serious psychological issues. You know, certainly, narcissism is one. He feels like he's sort of entitled to everything and will never be held accountable for, you know, anything that he does, regardless of how outrageous. And you know, he's filled with jealousy over the success of his childhood friend, who's played by Chet Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who, and I think Chet did a really terrific job. You know, who became this very successful mob boss, local criminal. And so, you know, Billy does have to come up with, in his own mind, you know, a scheme to become as rich or richer, you know, than his friend Jacko. And once he commits that crime, of course, you know, he sets the, you know, the the entire story in motion. And all of these, it is an ensemble cast. It's the 8 or 9, you know, characters, all of whom have their own storylines that seem somewhat separate and apart in the beginning, and then, you know, collide as the movie progresses, and as the crime that Billy, you know, committed really has this seismic effect on everyone's lives.
Mm-hmm. And that we really see a lot of character shifts once that within that seismic effect on people. One of the interesting things that you have done here, that you and Kenneth have done with your characters in the story, we get a character like Jacko, and he does have a moral compass to a certain degree. When he's yelling at Raleigh, when Raleigh's bragging about, here, look at all this money I've collected for you. And he goes off on him about no drugs, no drugs, no drugs. So you've actually given criminals, some of them, there is a line in the sand that they don't want to cross and won't cross. And I really love that because it just adds another layer to the personalities. And not too many filmmakers would do that, or writers would do that with a character. And I really like that you have done that.
Again, thanks so much. Yeah, you know, with the possible exception of Katrina Bowden's character, you know, who plays Billy's wife, no one is without guilt, you know, in the story. And everyone has to face, you know, their own morality or their own moral issues. You know, certainly the young woman who plays Katrina's sister, and ultimately the investigator, Cress Williams' character, everyone sort of follows their own moral code and has to make choices. And that's interesting, you know, to me, that there are, you know, sort of a host of flawed characters, you know, who have to respond to this sort of extraordinary set of circumstances. And, you know, this is not a whodunit movie. I mean, we know who commits the crime. We see it very clearly. What's interesting is how all of these people sort of respond to the circumstances that they're placed in by virtue of the crime having been committed. And I hope that people get sort of invested in the characters, even if they seem, you know, sort of wrong or dirty or evil. There are aspects of the characters that are actually, you know, somewhat appealing. So you're interested to see, you know, ultimately what happens to them. And that's, you know, I think that's what makes the film, you know, hopefully entertaining. It's a ride, you know, it moves quickly. It's really sort of a fun ride. And, you know, there's a lot going on, you know, the grief, the betrayal, the love, know, the sex, the murder. You know, hopefully it'll keep everyone, you know, sort of on their toes.
Well, this is where your visuals are so important here. By keeping you're working with Thomas Calloway as your DP, keeping everything light and bright, because a story like this with what's unfolding, you very easily could have really turned it into a darker, almost noirish kind of thriller, but you didn't. So I'm curious about your reasoning for going the way that you did. I love the fact that you kept it light and the visual tonal bandwidth light and bright to let us focus on the characters. But I'm curious your reasoning.
Well, you know, it's a very interesting observation on your part and an interesting question that no one has certainly asked before. So I commend you, you know, for that. I wanted the film to look real. You know, I wanted everything to, you know, to just feel real, feel normal, not to, you know, necessarily influence, you know, the audience one way or the other, you know, in terms of, you know, as you say, light or style or, you know, or any visual, you know, sort of tricks. Just, you know, sort of present it natural sort of flavor, and then again let the characters really dictate what the tone of the film is.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is, you know, it is all about these characters.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the crime, which I'll not mention because I don't want to give away too much. But
yeah,
you know,
we can't. This crime, yeah, we can't mention it.
You know, is pretty crazy, and crazy in that he doesn't really sort of appreciate what the ramifications of it will be. You know, on people around him, especially, you know, on his own wife, who he does sort of love in a bizarre way. So it's really the, as you said before, it's the development, you know, it's the movement of these characters that really sort of bring color and tone to the film. And and I didn't, you know, there wasn't any reason to, you know, to again try to sort of point the audience in a particular direction in terms of the, you know, the visual texture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just presented in a, you know, in a realistic way that you, you know, sort of accept these people for, you know, for who they are.
Yeah, I mean, you could be walking down the street or walk into a bar and run into any of these people.
Exactly.
How challenging was the edit on this one, Rick? Because you do have all of these intersecting plot points and all of these characters, and you do a very good job of judiciously giving everybody moments to shine. That could not have been that easy when you're cutting it, to find that balance.
Well, I'll tell you the truth. You know, first of all, you know, when you're making an independent movie like this, and, you know, you're certainly dealing with restrictions of, you know, of time, schedule, you know, certainly, you know, financing, you have to really think through all of this before you start shooting. And you know, my producing background helps me when I'm writing to sort of make those choices, you know, at the script stage. So, you know, by the time we start shooting, I pretty much, you know, think that I've seen this movie, you know,
mm-hmm.
at least in, you know, in my mind's eye. And so you're very judicious, you know, in terms of how you shoot the film. And by the time we get to editing, I mean, interestingly enough, there was, you know, even more than I anticipated. So we did have to sort of cut back on a few things that, and it's always, you know, always hard to cut away from, you know, from the babies, from the, from some of the scenes that, you know, that you really felt strongly about, but I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
Call came in. You know, it's not a situation, you know, where you know, you sort of film for months and months, and you have like a huge amount of film, and you know, and sort of the editorial process goes on forever as you try to, you know, sort of make the movie in editing. It's pretty much in place, you know, when we sit down. If we've all done our jobs, if I've done my job, as you mentioned, Tom Calloway, who did a great job shooting the film, if he's done, you know, his. So it's not quite as difficult, you know, as you may think. I think that, again, when you're working in this environment, you know, sort of a somewhat lower budgeted, independent arena where your schedules are quite tight, you have to move quickly. You know, it's really all about preparation.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what you need really before you begin filming.
Well, I've got one last question for you, Rick, because I know that they have to move you along today. Really curious about what made Dead Wrong, the novel Deadly Instinct, what spoke to you and made you want to make this into a film?
Yeah. Well, that's an easy question to answer. It, you know, it was really just this sort of core idea This is a crime that, frankly, you know, I would not have thought of. And the author of the book, you know, Ken Clark, who's also one of our executive producers, you know, had done some research and come up with a number of similar cases, if you can believe that, which, you know, sparked his interest in originally writing the novel. I thought, well, that's a pretty unusual sort of core, theme, to base a thriller upon. And then, of course, it's the idea that you have, again, this group of characters, all of whom are, somewhat unusual, in their own ways. And all of whom, again, sort of are both flawed, with the exception of Katrina's character, and have their own, as you mentioned, their own sort of moral code that they have to, sort of lean upon in these sort of extraordinary circumstances. So, I love characters, that have real issues, that have some personality disorders that you can sort of dive into and still keep them both real and relatable, notwithstanding, how unseemly, they may appear to be.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it became a bit of a character study, of a group of seemingly unrelated people that end up colliding together at the end of the film.
I love what you've put together here, and I love the intricacy of the twists and turns of each of these disparate characters. You wouldn't think they'd all be thrown in a room together.
That's exactly right.
But just so well done, Rick. Real thoroughly enjoyable. And with Memorial Day coming up, perfect film for people to sit at home and watch. Perfect.
Yeah, it's a good popcorn movie.
Yep.
It's a very entertaining movie, and I feel very good about it. And thank you very much, Debbie Lynn, for all the nice words.
Thank you so much, Rick, and hopefully we'll get to chat again in the future.
Well, I hope so. All I have to do is get to make another movie, but I hope that will happen.
Rick, thank you so much, and you have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, you as well.